Welcome to Real Time with WLP. I'm Diana Ferraes, member of the Digital Committee at Women Leaders in Pharma, and I'll be the host of this episode titled, Embracing the Unknown, Navigating Ambiguity for Innovative Success. To talk about this topic, it is a pleasure to introduce our guest today, Vanessa Ronich, Director of Digital Transformation and Innovation at Novo Nordisk. Vanessa has 15 years of extensive experience within front-end drug development. She is a global leader who embraces diversity of thought and culture to build and lead high-performing teams with the expertise and capacity to ideate, innovate, and affect lasting positive change in diverse environments. Recently, she has been leading Novo Nordisk's first innovation incubator, APIS Labs, to help solve complex problems within the U.S. healthcare ecosystem through disruptive innovation. Welcome, Vanessa. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Our first question, Vanessa, we would like to know in your expertise, how can leaders foster a culture that embraces ambiguity and encourages innovation?
That's a very big question, Diana, but thank you for asking. I think the first thing that comes to mind when you're trying to encourage the right environment for your team to embrace ambiguity and be more innovative, you need to really think about how you're going to promote and curate the right kind of mindset for your team. And, you know, what I mean by that is it's uncomfortable to try something new. You often have this fear of failure and of potentially making the wrong decision by going down the wrong path, and maybe being reprimanded for doing so. So it's imperative that as a leader, you create a psychologically safe environment where your team feels safe to explore and try new things and be more innovative. There's inherently going to be failure in that process. So I think it's really important to celebrate the learnings that you get from those failures. In pharma, I also think there's, and I assume within other highly regulated industries, we face many interconnected, multifaceted, what we like to call wicked problems. And it's scary to sometimes take that first step. So on the back of creating this psychologically safe environment, you really do also need to promote progress over perfection to allow people just to make that first step. It's better to make any kind of move or momentum than it is to just be standing still and never changing at all. The third and final advice that I would give to a team in order to foster that right kind of environment to encourage innovation and embrace ambiguity is to have empathy for the other teams that you're collaborating with and co-creating with. Chances are that what you're feeling is exactly what everyone else is feeling. And to not take any kind of resistance or challenge that you may be feeling from them as a personal attack. People react very differently to change and to innovation and when they're faced with uncertainty. And sometimes it's not always for the better. So I think to keep that in mind, no matter where you and your team are in their journey, just to make them mindful of how other people may be feeling in the context of the change that you're trying to implement.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Being empathetic and being showing our human side when dealing with coworkers, you know, we are in a professional environment, but at the same time, we have to remember that we are all humans and we are, you know, showing that empathy is important. In your experience, what are some effective strategies or frameworks that can help leaders navigate ambiguity successfully?
Yeah. That's another good question. So I think because of the space that I work in, I like to come at this question from an innovation lens. And I've often heard people use the phrase, if you ask 10 people what innovation means, you'll get 10 different answers. And similarly with innovation frameworks, if you ask people, what's the framework that I should be using for my team and my situation, you probably get 10 different answers. And the common theme that I like to focus on, though, is the prioritization of the problem and not jumping straight to solution mode as soon as someone comes to you with a pain point that they need solving. There is power in the pause, and to really take your time to make sure that you understand the root cause of a pain point, maybe different angles or perspectives that you could approach that problem. Really make sure that you're going to come to the customer with something they can use. So a nice visual that I often have in my mind is I don't want to go running towards a customer with a hammer when what they really need is a screwdriver. So some other tools that I like to think of that can help you navigate this area of ambiguity is to time box yourself so you don't go down a rabbit hole. To give you an example of that, maybe I want to go and do some research in a new therapeutic area. If that's on my to-do list, just research this new therapeutic area, I could spend days, weeks, months before I really feel comfortable that I have sufficient expertise in a space in order to make any kind of clear decisions. So really being able to say, do I need all that time or am I going to be okay with what I have after 4 hours? And I think that ties into the next point that I have, which is to really decide what is good enough in advance. So it's not too easy to sort of negotiate with yourself. Oh, actually, maybe I should have spent, 2 weeks instead of 2 hours researching in this space. So making sure that you're defining that for yourself and your team, but also collaborating and co-creating with others. Everyone, including myself, has inherent biases in whatever they're doing. And that can limit the possibilities that you're coming up with in your ideation phases of any kind of framework. So making sure that you have different people around the table when you're making certain decisions at certain gates, perhaps, to make sure that you're not going into it with any sort of unconscious bias that may be limiting the potential of your idea. So those would be the ones that I recommend to people.
I love it. I think that you are totally right in terms of like diversity, bring different point of views, right? And it also supports the innovation because exactly that brings other people's point of view. Also taking a step back, as you said, sometimes we are such in a rush that we need to take a pause, we need to take a break, breathe and see what's going on here and what do I need to do in order to move forward, right? Setting these kind of rules in advance to your own framework and parameters, what is going to basically define these key success factors, right? How does applying a framework advance innovation, especially in highly regulated industries like pharma? What is your take on this?
I mean, innovation and risk correlate with each other. So as you increase your innovation in the space, inherently you're also going to increase your risk. And I'm assuming it's also the case with other highly regulated industries, just like pharma, but we are inherently adverse to risk. I mean, one, because the cost could be quite high for us. Potentially it could impact patients' lives, impact the brand reputation, a lot of different things. That's just a small few that I can come up with now. But by providing the framework, going back to the original point that I made to your first question, it creates a safety net for the team to feel safe in order to explore and push the boundaries. And I've used an analogy before about people, being on a rooftop. And if you tell them to go and look over the edge and there's no railing, they'll be reluctant to get very close to the edge for fear of falling over. However, if you take the same people, same rooftop, and add a railing and ask them to do the same thing, more than likely you're going to get people that are pushing right up at the end, right up to the edge, maybe even over the railing in order to see what they can find. So you really do have to create this, I think, guardrails that can make people know that, all right, if I play within this space that I've been given by my leadership team, I know that I'm going to be supported with the decisions that I make, and I'm not going to be reprimanded if, one of them don't work out. So I think that's the way that I like to think of it. It creates safety for the team.
What do you think that helps to create that safe environment when you are dealing with these teams and trying to drive innovation?
I think the most important thing would be the remit that you give your team. So, for example, for us, it's the fact that we align to our enterprise strategy and that we play in the reinvention and disruption zones or horizons of innovation. So those are the two key things that we ask ourselves when we're exploring any given problem or solution in my immediate team. And so as long as we can answer yes to those, then we know that we are on the right path. Obviously, there's more details within that, but I definitely think that that is the first step for us to at least acknowledge whether we are within that space that we've created for ourselves.
How do you think that individuals can overcome fear or resistance to ambiguity and develop a mindset that embraces uncertainty and innovation?
The first step, and I can say this from personal experience, is self-reflection. So looking at what the triggers are that create that reaction of fear or a resistance in you. And it's very similar, when I started thinking about this, it's very similar to cognitive behavioral therapy, where you start maybe even looking at your physiological reactions. So shaking hands, increased heart rate, those kind of things. And once you have the triggers down, you can see if you can catch yourself in the moment and acknowledge that those emotions are happening, that they're transient, and you're safe. And finally, by practicing challenging yourself when you do have those feelings, what is it that's really making you feel that way, knowing that it's not, you know, necessarily a real danger to you or your immediate surroundings, and acknowledging that you are uncomfortable and it's okay to be uncomfortable. And we have a mantra within our team to say that, you know, it's good to be, you need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable in this space. And I remember when I first started working in this team, one of my main responsibilities to try to help remove blockers that might be slowing down or potentially even stopping the innovative work that we're doing completely, and to reach out to those organizations to see if there's ways that we can remove those barriers together. And I remember I was in a meeting with a lot of, I can't remember the exact number, but it was at least six different people from legal, compliance. And it was quite intimidating, even though we have really good working relationships, when you're on one side of the table and you have multiple people on the other staring back at you. I was definitely having some of those physiological reactions, but I was also on the inside remembering, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I was secretly smiling to myself that this is it, this is what you've been waiting for. So I think just trying to even throw myself into those situations even more to build up that muscle within myself was something that I found very, very useful.
I think that is very interesting what you're saying, because we don't give ourselves the opportunity to be comfortable while living uncomfortable situations. I think that this is kind of, we have to see them as a key learning experiences to have, we can improve ourselves and kind of thrive in certain situations that will lead into a better outcomes.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that, going back to the first question about the psychologically safe environment, that may not be possible if you don't have leadership that creates that environment for you. So I've been very fortunate that I do have good leadership that encourages me to reflect on myself and also make mistakes and learn from them. So
yeah, that's super important. And I think that, as you said, being that, creating that safety environment and having the people around us that will allow us, it creates a more open space and safe space to be creative and innovate, right? Because at the end of the day, that's how innovation happens, when people are freely to speak and to talk and to share what they have in mind and be, you know, themselves. Yeah.
And I also like to think that if I wasn't feeling those things, then chances are I'm not really changing the status quo. I'm not changing anything, really, not being innovative, let alone changing. So, I think that's a really key piece of what we've been talking about.
Awesome. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today. We really appreciate it. It has been lovely having you today in the podcast. to our listeners, thank you for listening real time with WLP. We invite you to follow us on LinkedIn or Instagram. And if you would like to become a member, visit our website. Thank you so much and have a great day, everyone.